minutes of September 13th and September.
What's the order?
The minutes of 13th. Okay, now I guess we start the meeting.
You got the tape?
Yeah, I know.
Good morning, it's 9 minutes after 9, Monday morning, September 27th. I hereby call the meeting of Public Safety and Security to order. We have legislators Harkin and Burton and myself, and we're joined by Legislator Marcotte. So we have a quorum, we're in session. First order of business, I'd like to approve the minutes, two sets of minutes of September 13th and September 20th.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Harkin, second by Mr. Burton, all in favor?
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Today we're going to have another discussion, our second discussion, I guess, on our ShotSpotter gun detection system. We had the county police in, I guess, last month or 2 months, maybe several months ago. But in fact, as we discussed it, the real action, if you will, is taking place in Yonkers and Mount Vernon. And so we've asked officials from both those municipalities to join us today to have to continue that discussion, get into more details of how things are working, just to remind the committee. I think it was, $3 million in total. I think this board appropriated a couple years ago where the systems are in place. And we want to get an update on what's going on. So, gentlemen, we do have officials, I believe, from both Yonkers and Mount Vernon here. If you would
room at the table.
Join us at the table. Certainly appreciate you showing up this morning, and the county officials as well. We'll take the table's big enough to handle everybody.
How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
We certainly appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us today. When we worked on this project and appropriated the funds, we thought it was an important project. We had high expectations. We really, I guess it's new for this area, so we weren't really sure what it was going to be. So with all this time, hopefully there's enough time is going by to get a sense of what's going on. So if we could, I guess the microphone is on. For the record, maybe just go around and identify yourselves for the record.
Captain Roy Hastings, City of Mount Vernon Police Department.
Okay. Deputy Chief Ed Geis, Yonkers Police Department.
Detective Lieutenant McLaughlin, Yonkers Police Department.
Chief Inspector Roger Ochicki, County Department of Public Safety.
Very good. So again, I guess maybe we'll start with Mount Vernon, the chairperson, and say, you know, just give us sort of an update. Well, our understanding is the systems are installed, in place, and operational.
Yes.
And if you can give us sort of an overview of sort of from the beginning to now how it's been going.
All right. The system went operational in October of 2009 on a test basis. Went fully operational beginning of December. We had some bugs to iron out. The service from ShotSpotter has been exemplary. We call them up whenever there's a problem. There were some minor problems because of topography, transmission on the radios to get the items working. But we wound up with the full grid working. We use it on a daily basis. The dispatchers have been trained. They can reclassify things. They're actually listening to the sounds now. So when a response comes in, they can actually listen to it and be able to weed out some things that you can definitely hear that are not gunshots. And then they can make the determination from there. They're trained, and if there's any doubt in their mind, of course, full dispatch goes. Everybody goes to the scene. We've used it on several scenes of actual gunshots fired. So far we've found that the directional capability is pretty well on target. We're able to locate shell casings and other things that in a rapid fashion instead of, you know, having to deploy a lot of manpower to search out an area to find the actual location. Where the spot is showing up, it's usually within 25, 30 feet, so we can scale down the number of manpower and the number of hours that is spent scouring for a little shell casing or whatever to recover the evidence. It's another tool in our toolbox. We go out there and we use it. We use it to respond. We use it to recover evidence. This way we can get the evidence, get it up to the county laboratory, get it into the system, and There's only been one or two incidents where an arrest was directly off of the shot spotter, but that's really not what it's designed for. It's really designed to get you there more rapidly and recover the evidence. And it seems to be working quite well in its role.
Members, maybe, I mean, I'm sure we have some questions, so maybe we let Yonkers go.
Yeah, maybe. And,
The gentleman, just again, identify yourself for and.
Deputy Chief Edward Geis from Yonkers. First of all, we want to thank you for making the investment in the ShotSpotter. You know, it is a tool that we are utilizing. We are, unlike Mount Vernon, we are having some issues with it at this particular time. But like he said, ShotSpotter personnel are very receptive to our needs. They've come in and done extensive training with our staff. Again, they moved some of their sensors to different locations. They ordered new sensors for us, but we're still having a problem where we're missing a lot of shots being fired. Like the captain did say, though, when it does work, it works well in that you're able to find the location of the shooting more rapidly than you would have in the past. We found that as an investigative tool, it's lent to a number of successful conclusions and cases, you know, when it does work. I have here with me Lieutenant McLaughlin. He's been tracking it. He could speak more specifically about it than I can. If you want to say anything.
Yeah, I have a slightly different opinion than the chief, but but that's just the way it is. We went live in December, the last week of December, and installed the software in January. So we've been using it since January of 2010. We've had over 7,600 activations. 969 of those have been gunshots. 5,334 have been fireworks. It's missed several shots. It's missed several shootings and also missed several shots fired calls. I've notified ShotSpotter on each occasion, and it came to be determined that we're missing we have a weak spot in one of our areas in the southeast corner of. And we actually did request the further sensors to put up. They came in and did a survey with their engineer. They said, we need three additional sensors and we need two sensors moved. I didn't brief the chief yet, though, but the county DPW, John Hsu, has turned down the funding. So basically, they turned it down. So basically, we have a weak spot, and it reduces the confidence by the officers because we've missed shots in specific areas. One of them being was the homicide where there was a shootout, and it would have been helpful then. Another one was we had an officer involved shooting that it missed. It has been successful on three occasions in this last 9 months. One occasion it actually pinpointed the shell casings on top of an 8-story building, which we would have never found. The camera integration has not proved successful. They originally gave us 8 cameras. We don't find them to be effective as far as moving towards the shot. We also added 36 cameras from our network onto the system, and the integration process is not going well. They're integrated, they don't move, they don't pan, they don't zoom, and this was part of the plan in the beginning was that we were going to integrate our current cameras, and that hasn't worked out very well. We did receive additional training when the chief pointed out that we were having issues within our department. They actually came down and did additional training. They spent the week with us, which turned out to be very successful. I can't emphasize enough that the 3-mile area that you guys paid for, we have a weak spot in it. ShotSpotter, I thought, was responsible for making that work. When they first came in, they had pressure on them because we weren't getting the site permissions fast enough. Mount Vernon went live. They wanted to go live. They stuck it on roofs that were like a 3-story building next to an 8-story building because they couldn't get the guys' permission. So therefore, we have a dead spot, and I don't know if you're familiar, but Lawrence and Saratoga, it's one of the highest gang-related areas that we have numerous shootings there. And like I said, when it missed that homicide, the cops just said, oh, it's not working well. My personal opinion is ShotSpotter should be held to fire and say, listen, this is within the 3-mile area. They told me it's on the corner of the coverage, and therefore it's not going to be as good as in the middle of the coverage. And I never heard that from the beginning when they said, well, if it's in the corner, we're not going to cover it. So I'm a little disappointed about that. I think somebody should turn to them and say, listen, you got to make this work. That's just my opinion.
I think one of the points that the lieutenant has made that really has to be stressed is that the police officer's confidence in the system is nil, to be perfectly frank with you. You know, for the most part, when they hear that it's a ShotSpotter call, unless they get confirmation that there's other calls being received, they don't believe it. You know, and that's a real problem, you know, for safety for the cops, because then they're going to roll up to a scene and say, think that, okay, it's another BS ShotSpotter call, and in fact, maybe a real shooting, and they could put themselves in jeopardy.
The disappointing part is, like in Mount Vernon, they've had success stories where ShotSpotter is sent up to a location of a shooting or shots fired. In our case, we've never responded to a ShotSpotter activation that hasn't been followed by a phone call. So it hasn't actually led us to anything that we would have got anyway. We would have got the phone call anyway, we would have been there. Like I said, but on three occasions, we found shell casings based on printing out the map and going to the scene and locating them.
Wow.
But those were the three success stories we had.
I appreciate your honesty, Pete, and then go ahead. Legislator Harkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your candor. This is the kind of stuff we need to hear. I appreciate.
That's why the chief is here, because he didn't want to send me by myself.
You know, and we made a $3 million investment, and it, you know, it's disappointing to hear that you're not confident in the product. So we've got to figure out how to make that right. Now, you said the administration turned down additional funding, and your thought was it should have been included in the original package. How much more are we looking at to make this right, and will it make it right, or is it just throwing good money after bad?
Well, I had thought that we were going to have to pay ShotSpotter more money to fix the problem, but after talking to John Shue last week, he said that no,
it should be included.
The 3 miles should work. I don't care if it's on the corner or not. And he suggested that we take legal action against a ShotSpotter if we had to get it done. And I said, you know what, he convinced me to saying that it was going to be another $18,000 for two more sensors. We have an additional sensor laying around, and they were to do the moves on their for their own money. So it would have been, and then he said, they should fix this because that's what we paid for, and I have to actually agree 100% with that.
All right, so what we're talking about is then a contract that it has not been fulfilled to your satisfaction or to Commissioner Shue's satisfaction. It should be fixed within the existing contract. Now, it sounded like your experience in Mount Vernon was a more positive experience. The Yonkers experience sounds pretty disappointing. Do you think it can be fixed based on your experience, positives and negatives?
Adding the additional sensors and moving the other three, I think will go a long way in helping us build our confidence in it. We have, the chief and I have been working on this for the last 6 months with the additional training and everything, and we were the biggest supporters of it, and my support is fading. If we don't get the additional sensors put in and the other three moved,
So you got to get them off the lower roofs to the higher roofs.
And we have to add those additional three sensors. We have one. We only have to buy two more, and we have to move three other ones.
After we met with the ShotSpotter personnel, they did their additional training. We were pretty optimistic, you know, that the moves would create an atmosphere where we'll stop working, and that the confidence that the police officers have in it will go up again. And you know, without the move of the sensors, I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, and it sounds like when it does work, you've both been able to find casings. You've been able to have some successful prosecutions. Is this the kind of evidence that stands up in court and makes your job and the DA's job easier?
Yes. Oh, no doubt. Yes.
That's the key, is locating some of the evidence. Like they said in their case, on the roof of an 8-story building where they wouldn't have looked, that's where they found the casing. Once you get the shell casings and get them to the lab, then you can get ballistic matches, you can get the positive forensics that you need to get a successful prosecution.
Thanks.
Mr. Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do I recall incorrectly that the deal was that once this was installed, the municipality was going to take over the maintenance and expenses of it?
The maintenance, yes. After the first year.
Okay. So has the entire bill been paid? Are we aware of that, Inspector?
Pretty much. There's an outstanding balance of about $88,000. We paid $2.9 million. We can cover both sides.
Are we withholding the $88,000 pending the fixes?
Well, the 88 is still a balance that's due.
Are we withholding the 88 until the fixes are complete?
The county's running short.
It's a DPW contract. I'll find out.
It would seem to me an appropriate thing to do under the circumstances.
But again, Mr. Shoes is holding the contract. The office has been in touch with the DPW.
Yeah.
And I think what he suggests is prudent to take legal action. Of course, not pay them, but that's John's decision.
Well, if our costs are approximately $18,000 and we're holding 88, well, that strikes me as a reasonably sized club.
As I say, DPW's holding the bag on that one.
Right. Well, I suppose I shouldn't labor it a fourth time, but it's our money. We haven't gotten a completed job. Therefore, until we get a completed job, we shouldn't be paying them. And if this requires the chairman of the committee or the chairman of the board to make that point to Commissioner Hsu, then we should do it. But the second part, I guess, that concerns me a lot is the belief by the average officer on the street that this is simply not worth it, and leading, therefore, to perhaps missing situations, but also being lulled into a false sense of disbelief. Is that an accurate description of this, or are you able? Once you fix it, you said you thought the belief, the credibility would go up, but in the interim, in the year that's gone by now, have we just got to the point where this is appearing to be just not having been worth the whole effort in the first place?
You know, I'm still optimistic that if they move the sensors, those three sensors, that we may have some viability in the system. And I truly think that once it starts working and police officers see that it's working, that they'll begin to realize that it's a good tool to use. You know, but until we get that, where it's catching actual shots being fired, especially in our high crime areas and our high gang areas, you know, that's not going to happen.
The first few months, the software was a lower version than it is now. It had been upgraded sometime during the course of the year, back in April, May, and that increased the sensitivity of it and made the fireworks and the gunshots, they separated them better. We also went through the 6,000 or 7,000 records that we have with the assistance of ShotSpotter to try to reclassify those 969 gunshots that we had, because in fact, we didn't have 969 gunshots. We've had 28 people shot this year so far in Yonkers, and that gunshot number is a little high, and so we had to go through each one of those and reclassify them. The software is doing a better job now, and they're also assisting us in reviewing it. So in the long run, if we get the sensors moved and additional sensors added, and we continue to train the officers, I think it will, in the long run, work out.
So the approximately 960 occurrences which you classified as gunshots, mm-hmm. You have reclassified down to how many that appear to be actual gunshots?
No, we went through the 6,000 or 7,000 total records.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And we reclassified, and we're down to 969 gunshots
right
now.
So it appears that in this area, approximately 3 square miles, 969 gunshots were established by the system.
Yes.
Is that a lot?
Yes. That number is not accurate. We haven't had that many.
So it's somewhere south of 969.
Yes.
And do you have is there an upgrade coming, or is there some work to be done to bring that down?
That's part of the issue. Is this that sometimes it doesn't classify as it classifies a gunshot that's a construction noise, mm-hmm. or right. firework, or helicopter, something like that.
They keep telling us that it's a learning curve for the system, that we, by reclassifying it, it teaches itself what a gunshot sounds like.
So gunshots in Mount Vernon are different sounding than gunshots in Yonkers? Well, it's a serious point here, because I mean, 969 scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Well, I think it should. I've never gotten the idea that Yonkers is a free fire zone. I mean, this is...
Well, you testify, Bill, that it's not.
It's not. You're right.
Well, that's right. But I'm saying, if it's going to classify them down by 20% or 50%, it's still 450 to 650 shots.
If you classify it down to that, that's what's something wrong, because that's as best as they can do, and it's still 960, which is
But the learning curve that comes, the ability of the software to learn, it would. I mean, I'm just guessing this now, but is it that, as I say, Mount Vernon shots are different than Yonker shots? If not, then it would seem to me that the vendor has the ability to upgrade the software as it goes along to say, well, this, for whatever range of sound is a gunshot, this is a firework, this is a backfire, this is a, you know, a piece of wood hitting the ground, whatever. Is that an ongoing thing?
Yes.
And that's part of the maintenance contract that
yes.
you have? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Jenkins, and then Legislator Marcon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And first, thank you for having this meeting. I know that it's been an interesting experience. I had heard that from Commissioner directly, from the same point that Chief was just making as far as moving the sensors, because in Mount Vernon, the deployment was different in Mount Vernon than it was in Yonkers. Yonkers wanted to be able to move the sensors around, and Mount Vernon wanted them in fixed places, obviously, because it's a smaller area, right, and it's easier to do. And Yonkers didn't want to kind of advertise where the places were, if I recall the implementation. So some of that, saying there's new sensors that are required, to your point, let's say, Burton, when I spoke to the mayor and to the council, they're doing their capital project right now. And it sounded to me, and I didn't know what the real cost was of the additional sensors that were necessary, it sounded like they needed to have an additional investment from Yonkers' side, right? And they're doing their capital budget for, I guess, $93 million, and there's a bunch of things on the list to be able to add those sensors in that were sounded like they were necessary because of whatever logistics there are. The buildings are at the same size in Yonkers and Mount Vernon, so that obviously will have a little bit of a difference. You also testified about the confidence of the officers in the system and the reporting. Some of that is in the software that is being continually upgraded, as you're suggesting. Is there anything that's tied to other activities, like, you know, whether it was the contractual activities that were going on? Because from the anecdotal, and it's totally anecdotal information, that it seemed if the system reported there was a shot or a firecracker or whatever, that the people in the communications area did not trust that, so they just sent the officer out there anyway. And because, for at least from the way I'm understanding it, that there is such a tie to a gun collar, a gun arrest, versus, you know, something else, that there was just so much additional activity associated with a gun arrest that there was a tendency for the officers not to believe the system when it said it was a firecracker, when it wasn't, when it was really a firecracker, sending the officers out there because they were trying to, you know, find guns. Is there any ties to any of that kind of thing from your perspective? Because that leads to the confidence question. You know, if you don't think this, if you're gonna generate 20 hours of overtime on a gun bust, right? You know, you may not believe that firecracker, that shot spotter said it was a firecracker, and you roll a team out there, right? And you do that, and you may find other things, because usually, even if it wasn't a firecracker or if it wasn't a gun, might have been a knife, might have been some other gang activities, especially in the areas you're talking about. Do you see any of that level of correlation in it, Chief?
I think we had an issue where our communications division was sending people to too many calls regards to ShotSpotter originally, and that's why we had ShotSpotter come in and retrain all our communication staff, because that lends itself to, you know, cops don't, if we're going to send someone to a fireworks complaint, we'll send them to a fireworks complaint. If we're going to send you to a shooting, which ShotSpotter is responsible for, we're going to send you to ShotSpotter, you know, and so there's a, something's way down here and another thing's way up here. You know, shots being fired in the city is a very serious thing, and we want the cops to take it seriously. So we don't want the communications division just to dispatch calls on a shot spotter to fireworks complaint. You know, if it's a fireworks complaint, just, you know, people calling it in will just send it to them. And that was a problem originally that created a little mistrust of the system, which now communications doesn't send any police officer anything other than shots being fired at by shot fire.
I know Legislator Burton was being only semi-facetious that a gunshot in Yonkers is different than a gunshot in Mount Vernon, because we all know that the ballistic part, that's just not true, right? The sound is the sound. And, you know, when they had the experience in Mount Vernon when the person got shot and a car rolled past them and shot spotter said, hey, wait, there was a shot here, and they found the kid rolled under the car, right? Or the one that was on the Bronx line, which wasn't even a Mount Vernon call, if I recall correctly. It wasn't a Mount Vernon call. It was actually a New York City call, but it was right on the line, and they found the bullet shell casings within like 2 feet or whatever shot spotter said. It's kind of hard for me to believe from a technology point that it's just you know, a difference in technology, especially given the fact that we have the same technology in New York, whether it's in Hempstead or in other places. So is there something that, from an installation perspective, you know, from a, because it's a joint effort. I mean, obviously, it's not just putting the system out on the wall. It's a joint effort. Do you think that there was any things that we could have shared with ShotSpotter and seeing how we deployed the system, at least for our areas, that might have been helpful or more helpful?
Yeah. Well, I think since our last meeting with ShotSpotter, we did identify the three locations that we think new sensors should be put. And I think with that, if they're put there, that the coverage would be exemplary.
So did they tell you, in other words, when they came in to install in Yonkers, right, did you tell them, well, this is the area, right? You know, we think this is the kind of generic area we want to be in, and then let them go out to try to identify the places, or was the police department and the city and the building department helpful in going to those owners in those buildings that, you know, we might have had some problems with, or did that just, how did it work?
They came in and we told them the area we wanted to cover. They sent an engineer in and he said, I like this one, this one, this one, this one. We went around with cars and the police and knocked on the doors, spoke to the supers, got the permissions. So they picked the buildings.
I got you.
But then it got so that things weren't getting progressing. So I think they picked a few spots and they left a few sensors out because they wanted to get the thing live. Because
right.
Once they go live, then the maintenance starts to kick in. Hmm. So as soon as we sign off on the system, that first year, starts. So I think they a little rushed the end part, and that was the southeast corner. So we assisted them. We had cars going out. We had both precincts involved, the commanding officers. We did what we could do.
And that goes to Elizabeth Burton's other point, which is, you know, we from the county, we have sign off on the system at a particular point where everybody signs off and says, we're good, right? And it doesn't sound like we ever had that point where we said, at least for the Yonkers system, and in Mount Vernon, it sounded like a lot different from a scenario. I mean, the way it was rolled out was even different. I mean, you know, we had the fun part of going into Mount Vernon and 30 people trying to get around the one screen to see the system. But did someone, I mean, did we have that kind of thing happen with between Yonkers, the county, and the vendor and said, you know, it looks like we're good, right? As opposed to having now to say we're going to have to, you know, take legal action because what we said was good wasn't good.
Well, when I met with the chief, when I pointed out that we had numerous misses, which I notified ShotSpotter about, and they finally said, listen, we'll send people in to do training, and we'll also send an engineer in. An engineer came in, we drove around, and he said, this is a weak spot here. And he pointed out and said, you need two more sensors here, you need to move these three sensors. And we said, okay, let's do it. And then we found out that they wanted to bill us. And then John Chu said, they're not billing us, they have to fix what we paid for. And I said, okay.
But we also, when we did the contract, I mean, it had X amount of sensors in it, right?
No, I believe they said...
Whatever coverage it...
They said they will cover 3 miles.
Base contract.
If it takes...
Yeah. No, they did. I think they...
If they said, we're going to cover 3 miles, if they figured out 5 sensors were good, that's great. If they needed 50, that was there. That was them.
So it was the mileage.
It was the mileage. It's 3 miles of coverage. It's not like we paid for sensors. We paid for 3 miles of coverage. That's my understanding.
No, I think we got to check that because I think that in the sensors. No,
okay, you're good.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was actually part of my point. I think somebody needs to interpret the contract in terms of what actually said and what was done. In terms of the maintenance, how often is that spoken to? Obviously, it must be the contract has to speak to the maintenance. How often does it need to be done? You know, like a weapon needs to be calibrated. Is there a certain maintenance schedule?
I think it's as needed. I think they'll repair the brakes. There's no inspections or anything like that.
Right.
So how are you notified if it's broken? Well, it's simply not reporting. It's not.
I'm sure that it'll be reported.
Right
through the system.
ShotSpotter is monitoring the sensors 24/7 out in California.
Okay.
And they have an alert goes off. If the sensor goes down,
they notify you.
They notify us. On the screen, they're green. It turns yellow or orange.
Gotcha.
It turns orange, it's not working.
Okay, and is it an outside vendor, or are you trained to someone within your department or DPW trained? ShotSpotter comes in?
ShotSpotter comes in, yes.
Okay. And my other question is, are there any other municipalities, you mentioned Hempstead, do they use this?
Yeah.
They do. Has anyone reached out to Hempstead to see, you know, perhaps they have similar problems or
Hempstead is more like Mount Vernon from a side. I mean, legislative. You from
the topography.
I mean, yeah, and Yonkers. I mean, additional things that happen. We probably have to go and look through you, Mr. Chairman, to find a municipality that's similar. Like, I mean, they use it in D.C.
The number of municipalities were approached before we entered the program. Right. They were happy with the system, and they had no problems with such a thing, so there's no reason to go back to them.
Okay.
I don't want anybody to misunderstand. Chief and I are strong supporters of ShotSpotter.
No.
You put the investment in, we want the thing to work.
Right, exactly. We need to hear the glitches.
The thing is, I'm almost 99.9% positive. We paid for 3 miles of coverage. And it doesn't matter if it's 2 sensors or 100 sensors; it's their dime. They have to fix it. That's my understanding.
Thank you. And I have several questions, but just as it seems to me, from a business perspective, I'd be asking for my money back. I mean, I just think you buy a product, it's not working, in my opinion. But let me ask some questions. First, let me get through the chain of command, if you will. You're holding the money, or do you have the $88,000?
DPW is holding it.
So DPW is really writing this contract. Yes. They've really got the whole thing. So, yes. I mean, you're here giving us the information, but they're managing the contract. So they've got the $88,000. Any decisions to pay or not pay, it's all DPW. Okay, just so we're straight where we need to go to have that conversation, from the legal sort of point of view. Okay, so that's the chain of command. DPW is in charge of that. All right, let me back up a little bit. Because it just seems to me, first of all, if this is such a if we're focusing on that one little weak corner, but there's 3 miles in Yonkers. First of all, if this is a serious high crime area, if you will, you're talking about, maybe that should have been in the middle of the 3 miles. Why is that at the the very corner, so that issue even comes up? When, and I don't I'm not that familiar with location. If it's such a bad spot, that should be on the corner. My opinion. Just listening to this, but nevertheless, let me get back to the rest of the 3 miles, because where I'm losing confidence, when we went into this program, we were told by the administration that they went through, I don't have all my information, but there were a lot of cities. I mean, this is not brand new. It was relatively new, but we weren't the first ones. There was some due diligence done in a bunch of places, and if I recall, the biggest issue that I remember in hearing versus today is that issue of identifying a gunshot from a fireworks, from a helicopter. No problem. This is the technology. This will do it. Sounds like that's a total, I don't want to say fraud, but the representations that I recall, because that's obviously the question. You're going to roll officers out on a, on a ShotSpotter response. How do you know? No. Spend the $3 million. We've solved that problem. Sound, at least in Yonkers, I want to try to get more into the Mount Vernon story, but it sounds like it's just not true. Going from 9,000 or 7,000 to 960, and it's still not right. This system doesn't work. And just adding, you seem confident, but on a 3 mile area, unless you want to tell us about the other 2.5 miles, adding a couple of sensors, moving a couple of sensors, you're at the point where no one rolls until someone calls. I mean, this system is not working at all. You are not going on a gunfire charge, as I understand your testimony, until it's double checked, until it's. What's the word? You get a second response from a phone call. Is that correct? Is that
well, that's not totally
was that
accurate.
Your testimony?
What happens is dispatchers will receive the ShotSpotter will go off and be activated.
Okay.
Before they send anybody, they listen to it. They're able to listen to it right away, because it still has problems distinguishing between, like you say, helicopters and construction noise or whatever. They hear what they think is a gunshot, and they dispatch a car immediately. Regardless of whether or not they receive the phone call.
Okay, so you're still going straight out.
But
okay.
The problem is, because the officer's confidence is low, they go, well, did you receive any phone calls yet? And when the dispatcher says, no, we haven't received any phone calls, they go, oh, okay. You can hear it in their voice. They think it's nonsense, and that's a problem.
Okay, well, again, what we were advised, I believe, was that I don't recall having to have put the burden on the communications folks to be listening, and I know there's training, but the technology was going to say, this is a gunshot. It may not say what else it is, but it's not a gunshot. So put it in that category. They may not identify all the others, but the ballistic sound, we were advised, I'm pretty sure that it wasn't, well, you get all the sounds, and it's up to the dispatcher to kind of make that judgment. That is not what we were told. But so we got to go back to the whole basis of this technology. And they had statistics, oh, it was working so well in these other municipalities. And we did that due diligence. So, I'm really disappointed. You say there's some cameras in Yonkers, you added 36 of your own, but this whole integration, I don't recall Yonkers having to have to do that. And again, this is a system that we were going to cover this area.
No, that's not true.
That's not true?
No,
they're only putting in a couple of cameras?
They already had a set of cameras, and the system was going to tie the center.
Okay, Yonkers had cameras in the system, right?
They already had a system that was set up, and that was the cameras, and the ShotSpotters was going to supplement those cameras as well as the audio.
I mean, there are a lot of systems out there, and if this integration isn't happening, that's a technology issue. And so I don't quite understand, I don't know why, and maybe you may not know why, you have to ask somebody else, but it seems to me with all the things on the market today, that shouldn't be a problem. That's a technology problem, and again, we have to figure out, why that's not happening. But if we're buying a system, that should have been looked at, if someone missed something, that shouldn't have happened. Can we come back maybe to the statistics in Mount Vernon? We got a lot of statistics, Yonkers, percentage, false readings. I mean, are you just going great, you have some of these problems that you've heard about?
We had some similar problems. But on the flip side, we've had occasions where a call was sent out, no calls received from the public, and shell casings are recovered. So on our side, our officers have much more confidence in the system because we have a problem in Mount Vernon in certain areas of unreported gunfire. People in the neighborhood just have the attitude, like, I hear that all the time, I'm not worried about it. So, we got a big spike in shots fired calls, but we turned out to find out that in between the ones that, and like I said, our policy with the dispatchers is that when in doubt, you send it. Because there's certain things that you can hear that right off the bat you say, that's not a gunshot.
Well,
you can just hear it. It's just anybody could hear it. It doesn't have to be somebody specially trained to hear it. You know when a dump truck on a construction site slams that steel door on the back of the dump truck, and that produces the same kind of pressure wave that sets off the system, and now our system is starting to learn that shows up as construction noise.
Well, that's it. So maybe it is because the software is feeding itself, but at some point it's the reading, the technology reading, that creates this. So, again, we have to ask these questions because we're sitting here at the county, but I don't want to say that the communications people in Mount Vernon are different than Yonkers and they're listening better, they're better trained. I mean, why it seems that, it shouldn't come down to that. It shouldn't come down to the people. It's just the technology should be telling your folks there's a gunshot. But I don't know, to some extent, are the communications people in Yonkers not hearing the same thing that the Mount Vernon communications people are?
Well, I think the first thing that distinguishes the two cities is that the size of the ShotSpotter system, ours is 3 miles and theirs is a small area. So we're getting a lot more hits on the ShotSpotter than they are, so.
But the technology should be the same. I mean, if it was 10 miles, it seems to me.
And we probably have a lot more dispatchers than they do listening to the system. So instead of like 3 people listening to it, we have probably 25 people listen to it. So there could be
some difference in the. I see. I guess from my, just to the committee, from my recollection, I didn't realize it was so human dependent. Very honestly, yeah. I thought this was going to be technology driven. You see on the screen, it identifies a shot. But obviously, there's a much more human interaction that at least you're led to believe. Do you have a cost yet? Now that it was a 1 year maintenance, the municipalities are now going to have to pick up the maintenance cost. Do you have any idea as you're doing your budgets for the next year what this is going to go? It's like a service contract.
You guys pay for the first couple of years.
No, we.
What was included?
We put into our system. We had the maintenance in part of the in the grant.
Okay.
So I think we have our maintenance paid for. 2 years or 3 years, and then we pick it up from there.
Okay, so you're not on the hook for any money in Yonkers?
Right, well, the first year is free for everybody, and then I think we pay for the first year, so we're good next year. I understand. I think we went with the 1 year in the grant and bought additional cameras instead. Okay,
so
I'll have to check out.
So starting next year, it's going to be in the Yonkers budget?
It's about $125,000.
Yeah. It's
$125,000.
I mean, I'm thinking good money after bad, Frank, but again, it's not. Maintenance. The response time. I mean, again, when I voted for this, one of my questions, frankly, was it seemed they sold it on us or a shot goes off before the phone calls come in, or no phone calls coming in, you have to, in my mind, being, you know, skeptical of the whole system, maybe, well, if the officers aren't ready to roll, you know, you're only going to, this system is going to save response time, because either eventually a phone call will come in, or, you know, eventually something will happen. Did you change any of your whole response procedures given this? In my mind, I'm thinking like there's some SWAT team, that call comes in and, you know, you're right out. If it's going to take you 5, 10, 15 minutes to get anyway, that you would have done that, presumably, anyway. So is there an increase? Are you out there faster to the scene because of some shot spotter? Has that increased the response time or quickened the response time?
I don't think as of yet, but I think in the near future, you could correct me if I'm wrong, once we integrate it with our computers in the cars, it will come up instantaneously on the car's computers with the actual location, the dot where the shots are being fired, which will give the cops a real quick heads up, because they'll see it even before it's dispatched.
I said, so that wasn't, I mean, was that your goal? Was that part, I don't know if that was part of the original plan. I guess you could tie technology, if it's coming into one spot, it could come right to the cars.
Right, well, we have 90 mobile computers in the police car, so we have installed that ShotSpotter mobile version on that. We're also in the process of, we have an RMS project in the works, and I'm working on that also, where we're going to tie everything in. Currently, there are some cars that actually can drive down the street and have ShotSpotter running on their mobile computer, and the thing will activate and give them a location of a shot instantly.
Well, at the same time,
the radio room gets it.
Okay, well, that seems like...
Right. That's why we're optimistic that down the road, once we get these glitches figured out, it's going to become a worthwhile product. At least that's
our goal. Our goal is to actually make this thing work. We haven't thrown our hands up and quit on this yet.
Well, from the county's perspective, we sort of got the municipalities, at least we funded it. I wonder what our obligation is to go back to some of those other municipalities. I mean, instead of saying, you know, you guys go do it, we're holding the money. Did they run through these same glitches? Maybe the story we got was after this whole growing pains, those municipalities were okay. I mean, I'm not sure what part of the story we got in that due diligence, but maybe we need to, you know.
Just on that point is that this was a combination with the police, you know, enforcement, law enforcement community saying this is another tool, right? It's not the be all and end all. Right. It's another tool in the box that can help as far as gathering better information quicker, right? As well as identifying.
Well, it is, Mr. Chairman, but you know, again, I had to cast my vote. I'm saying to myself, if we're just going to be handing money out, do we give Malvern and Yonkers, here's money for 10 more officers, go put them on the street? You know, what's more effective? Well, but what's more effective? So, you know, putting in more, you know, front lines, just go out there, legal or otherwise, versus, oh, we could spend money in capital, doesn't make sense. And I mean, that was my thinking, and I was convinced, all right, it sounds like this is really going to work and be helpful, but, you know, a $3 million tool that's helped, you know, three times.
To that point, if I can, Mr. Chair. All right, so we have one disappointing experience, we have one good experience. To Legislator Rogowski's point about the best use of resources, at least in Mount Vernon, have you found a deterrent effect? Has word gotten out on the street that if you discharge a weapon, cops are going to be there faster?
Yeah, I'm laughing because it worked out funny. While we were putting the system in, and of course that's because you kept the location secret, you kept the visual, what the sensors would look like, other than the people you were asking permission from their building, you know, to show them what it would look like on their roof. Nobody really knew on the street what it looked like. Simultaneously, while we were in the process of getting this ready, a wireless internet company came into Mount Vernon and approached the city about using telephone poles around the city to put up a network so they could have a wireless network within the city, and the city allowed it. We were working one of the Operation Protects down 3rd Street by Leavista Towers, and they started to put these little white antennas up on top of the telephone poles. And the people, you could hear them talking. They turn around and go, yeah, there's the gunshot thing, there's the gun. So they see these, and they're really visible. They're really visible. So I think a lot of the people on the south side are convinced that we have sensors all over the place, because they're looking at these little white antennas.
We need to get that budget.
And they see it, and, you know, but... Right away, we noticed that the amount of gunshots, reported gunshots, yeah, we got a big spike coming in on the system, and of course you have to weed out what's it. However, gun violence, and we haven't been able to fully put a firm number on it yet, but we can see that it's gone down. I mean, last year we had 13 homicides. So far this year, there's only been two, and that was done by a crazed guy that, unfortunately, on right around New Year's Day, shot his ex-wife and his daughter, and he was arrested for that. And other than that, I mean, we still had the gunshots fired, and we've had a couple of shooting incidents where people were hit, minor injuries, but, like you said, knock on wood, the numbers are down, and the numbers of gun violence are down. We had a big spike in stabbings for a while. That was kind of a running joke around the cops in the locker room. Can we tune the system to pick up knives? But we've seen a decrease in gun violence. And between traditional police work, between programs that the chief had implemented and the commissioner had implemented, and this, like I said, as another tool, it's starting to go in the opposite direction. As to response times, yeah. The dispatchers are getting the information out faster. The guys are getting there faster. And, yeah, if you get a phone call that somebody said, I think I heard shots in my neighborhood, the officers are already on the scene or already possibly pulling up, and then the dispatcher could use that as additional information to tell them, yeah, now we've got corroboration of the gunshot from the system. So, you know, I'm sure Yonkers is having problems because, again, the topography. They have larger buildings. More densely packed area. And to answer your question about gunshots sounding different, absolutely. Gunshots in Mount Vernon sound different than gunshots in Yonkers because they have taller buildings, more echo. It's all done, the ballistic noise is all done on pressure wave. It's all done on like the sonic boom that a bullet breaks. To pressure waves are affecting these sensors. And if the sensors are too low, like they said, or too high, you're going to lose that, and you're not going to pick it up. We've had a lot of, a couple of areas in town where we had poor reception at the beginning. We've had a couple of shootings that got missed, but we called ShotSpotter, and what they can do is, again, that works on triangulation. So if you only get one sensor picking it up, or two sensors, you're not going to get an activation on the screen, but those sensors are picking it up. So our detectives were able to call out to ShotSpotter and say, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I need you to open up all the sensors in that area and listen to them. And they've actually emailed us the audio waves of what went on. And if it was a shootout, you can hear it. Like you said, you hear the large caliber weapon, the small caliber weapon going, which, again, it just helps to back up any stories you get from witnesses, you know, as to what was going on there. And when one guy said, yeah, I was standing on the corner minding my own business and a guy shot at me, and you can hear gunshots going back and forth, well, guess what? The detectives applied for a search warrant for his house. Yeah, and he went home after he got shot in the leg and put his gun under his bed because they were going back and forth. And we picked that up off of the audio, that it was a gunfight and not a one-sided thing. And those were ones that it didn't get picked up by the sensor because it was on a fringe area, like they said. It was towards the outside edge of the coverage, and only two sensors picked it up, one very faintly and one fairly clearly, but it wasn't a triangulation, so we didn't get the activation on the board. But they can still open up those sensors and go back to that time when you're looking for it and pick up that sound. So we've used that.
Okay. We're just about out of time. Okay. But on the exact deterrence question to Legislator Harkin, you know, you talked about the internet company,
yep,
in a way, but
that was a home run.
So to the point of you have a smaller area. In fact, this tangential issue may have broadened your. I mean, have you seen the gunfire? You know, move. I mean, our concerns were initially a small area.
Right.
They know where it is.
No,
move the fire.
We haven't
over
seen
there.
It move.
So that has.
What we did was we spread it. We had the same 3 square miles as they did, but our city's only 4.2. So we spread it, and yeah, we may have put a little hole in the coverage, we may have weakened it, but we've got almost 4.2 miles of coverage.
Oh,
we get a little weak up north of the Cross County Parkway, going towards Bronxville, but it's picking up, it's all over, they're seeing those antennas all over the place, and that's a visual deterrent for them, and we haven't seen too much of the migration.
And Yonkers didn't do the same thing, I mean, in fairness, as far as the deterrent level.
I mean, Mel Brandon made a big deal about ShotSpotter. And Yonkers, for the reason, for good reason, by the way, I think that it was the right reason to say, we don't want to say anything. We just kind of want to roll it out and catch bad guys, right? You know, and that means, instead of having the bullet fairy, is that what the commissioner calls it? The bullet fairy, right?
Going forward, it seems to me we have a couple of issues, certainly DPW, you know, working with, I guess our county police have some input here, and working with the municipalities, you know, and with the county attorney's office, maybe, what exactly is now the game plan with ShotSpotter? What I'm hearing is, you know, it can work, so as a consumer, I'd say, well, why isn't it? And if it's taller buildings, more dense, well, then maybe need, you know, 30 more cents. You know, what, as you say, the contract is whatever it takes to work, and how tough DPW, the county, has to be in ShotSpotter. Hey, you want to make this work, or you want to, egg on your face and go, you know, you want our recommendations to the next municipality that wants to buy it, what the reference is going to be. Our officers have no confidence, and that's not a great reference to be handed out to the future customers. So I think there's opportunities to have some leverage here to really push it. If, assuming you want to move forward, it sounds, what I'm hearing is, if done properly, it's helpful, it's effective, it's a good tool. The money's been spent. Let's try to get it back. And so let's move forward. So I think, to the committee, what can we do in working with the administration to try to figure out what's the best game plan to assist maybe, just to get something going in Yonkers to make it better?
Echoing the point made by Legislator Marcotte, you probably want to get a copy of the contract for the committee to analyze as well, and working with DPW, because obviously there's a lot of handshakes on it. DPW was the one that was executing the contract with the vendor, and it really was the police entities, whether it was the county commissioner, sheriff, working with the municipalities and their IT folks and deployment folks. It sounds like, again, right, we might have one of those.
Well, with the input from the Yonkers and Mount Vernon, you know, and maybe we may at some point, we have the record here, you know, what are the weak points? And then we go to DPW and law and say, all right, certainly before we pay and before, you know, we just pull the plug on this whole thing, how do we want, it's got to work.
Mr. Chairman, just be fair about it.
There's no
plug to pull. the money's spent and is done.
Well, there's $88,000.
For $88,000, so.
Well, the question is, how much, the plug to pull is, you know, we tell the world this is a lousy system, and then, you know, Westchester County's not happy. How we can make the Yonkers system, to some extent, but basically the Yonkers system work better and put the burden on ShotSpotter, make it work. Tall buildings, whatever, you've got to triangulate a little more, bring in more sensors, more cameras, whatever it takes.
Just to address your point about the weak spot that we have, it's on the border of New York City, so they put the minimum amount of sensors to cover that area. Their engineer came in and said, this wasn't done right, you need more sensors in this area since we can't go into the Bronx. And he says, we have to populate this area with 5 more sensors.
Right, okay, that makes sense.
I said, okay.
Right, they want us to pay for it. Right. All right, so that's why I think our next conversation is with DPW and law. Very good. Any other comments? Gentlemen, thank you. We really appreciate you coming in to give us this insight. Much appreciated. Motion to adjourn from Legislator Harkin.
Second.
Mr. Byrne, all in favor. All right. Thank you, everybody. We stand adjourned. 10:01.
Not bad, Marty.
Done.
Yep.
Didn't recognize you in
uniform. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Not working, right? I think we don't get that kind of...
We very seldom
very
get to this level of...
Right, exactly.
Let's just talk about this a little bit, Sheila.
Part of my comment, I was sick all week.
Oh, my. I'm sorry to hear that.
That's awful.